Now, the text of Scripture that the Lord has laid upon my heart for this gospel meeting, the words of verse number 18 of Acts chapter number 26. Let me read that verse with you again. It says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Now, speaking of the British Isles, and we think of England, Scotland, Wales, and the land of Ireland itself, in general terms, the media will often portray this part of the world as Christian. Yet many of us know that that is not so, because the broader population of the British Isles is becoming increasingly secular and indeed increasingly anti-God. And you see this to be so in the wholesale desecration of the Lord's Day throughout our nation. Also in the murder of thousands of unborn children through abortion. And also in the promotion of the awful wickedness of sodomy and all our immoralities throughout our land. And that would lead us to ask the question, what then is a true Christian? Within our Bible reading tonight, you maybe have noticed that the word Christian is used by King Agrippa in conversation with the Apostle Paul. At this time in his life, Paul was now a prisoner for the sake of the gospel. And in this chapter, he witnesses to King Agrippa. And Paul tells of that time when he was saved. And the road to Damascus at midday was something Paul never forgot about. He also tells how God called him to be a missionary and a preacher of the gospel. And then goes on and he tells the gospel message to King Agrippa face to face. And Agrippa replies there in verse number 28 of the chapter by saying to Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Sadly, the Bible never tells us of Agrippa becoming a Christian. But as well as mentioning the word Christian, our Bible reading this evening actually shows to us what a Christian is. And this we find in the words of our text tonight in verse 18 of Acts chapter 26. And here Paul is telling Agrippa about his missionary calling, how the Lord had spoke to him to be a missionary and to preach the gospel. And he relates what the Lord said to him in conversation to him about this calling. Look at verses 15 to 19 just to see the context there. And I said, he's speaking here to Christ, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. And there Paul tells us how he was not disobedient to this calling of the Lord in his life to preach and to proclaim the gospel. But notice there in verse number 18, as he retells the conversation that the Lord had with him, that the Lord himself showed Paul, and not only showed Paul, but shows us all. In those words, particularly of verse 18, he shows us all what a true Christian is. And people, it is this description of a true Christian that I want us to look at tonight. And my prayer is for each one in this gathering that you will not just know what a true Christian is, but that each one of us might indeed be a true Christian in accordance with what the Bible has to say about this matter. Notice first of all with me that the true Christian is one who sees their need as a lost sinner before God. You notice there how verse 18 begins. It begins with these words, to open their eyes. And there you see a Christian is one who has the eyes of their spiritual understanding opened by God. And in doing so, they see and they feel their need as a lost, guilty, hell-deserving sinner before Almighty God. You think of the publican that the Lord Jesus Christ tells you and I about in Luke chapter 18, who was to become a Christian. What did he pray? He smote his breast and he cried out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He realized that he was a sinner before God. Think of the words of David and Psalm 51, who also was a Christian in prayer before God. What did he say in that psalm? He said to God, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. He knew that he was a sinner before God, one who'd done evil before a thrice holy God. Again, you think of the words of Isaiah the prophet, who also was a Christian in the Old Testament. How did he describe himself in Isaiah chapter 6? He said these words, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. He too knew and felt his need as a lost sinner before Almighty God. You think of the words of Charles Wesley, that famous Methodist preacher and great hymn writer of a bygone day. In verse 4 of that great hymn, Jesus, Lover of My Soul, a hymn that I love to sing. In verse 4 of that hymn, what does he say about himself? Listen to his words. He says, I am all unrighteousness, vile and full of sin I am. He knew himself to be a lost sinner in the sight of a holy God. Then let me ask you tonight, in light of the Holy Scriptures, how do you see yourself before God? You see, if you are to be a Christian, you must see yourself as a lost, guilty, hell-deserving sinner before God. You must see yourself, not as man sees you and looks, as it were, upon your outward appearance, but you must see yourself as God sees you, a sinner by nature, a sinner by practice. Yes, the true Christian sees their need as a lost sinner before God. But notice secondly this evening that the true Christian is one who repents of their sin. Look again at what verse 18 goes on to say here of Acts chapter 26. It says, to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. And those words there describe a person turning from their sin, turning away from their sin, and in doing so, they turn unto God. You think of yourself being on a car journey. Maybe you're going to a destination you've never been to before, maybe on holidays or maybe in business, and you're not sure of the road. And you discover yourself that you're on the wrong road, that this road that you're on is not going to take you to the destination that you need to go to. What do? You stop. You turn your car around and you go in the opposite direction. You go in a completely different direction from which you were traveling on previously. And you know, that's really a picture of what repentance is. For it is man stopping on the sinful path and the sinful course of his life. And in doing so, he turns away from his sins. And he turns unto God. You think tonight of the prodigal son that you read about in the Gospel of Luke chapter 15, a young man who left his home, who went into the far country, who spent his substance in riotous living. Yet the Bible says he came to himself. He saw the ruin and the folly of his way. And then it says this, he arose and he came to his father. He arose and he left the far country of sin and he went back to his father, and indeed to God. What was he doing? He was repenting. He was forsaking his sinful life, his sinful lifestyle. Likewise, in our meeting tonight, let me say this, that if you are to be a Christian, you must repent of your sins. You must turn away from your sins, and in turning away from your sins, you must turn unto the Lord, a God of the Bible. The Bible says, turn ye from your evil ways For why will you die, O house of Israel? You're to turn away from your sin and turn unto God. The Bible says, God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Repentance from sin is God's command to every one of us, you and I alike in this meeting. No one here is exempt from this call to repent of our sins. No one. And a true Christian is one who sees their need as a sinner. A true Christian is one who repents of their sin before God. But notice something else from our text this evening. A true Christian is one whose sins are forgiven by God. Look again at verse 18, what it goes on to say. It says, that they may receive, it says, forgiveness of sins. And my, if you are to be a true Christian, then your sins must be forgiven by God. I want you to see that tonight. If you are to be a true Christian, your sins must be forgiven by God. Please understand that your sins cannot be forgiven by anything of yourself or by anything of man. Your sins cannot be pardoned by anything of the church, be it this church or any other church. Your sins cannot be forgiven by the waters of baptism. Your sins cannot be forgiven by the laying on of hands at confirmation. Your sins cannot be forgiven by a partaking of the bread and the wine at the Lord's table. Your sins cannot be forgiven by you being charitable and by giving money maybe to God's work or to the church or to others in need, good as that may be. Your sins cannot be forgiven by penance or by you suffering yourself, as it were, to atone for your sins. No. The Bible makes it very clear that God alone can forgive your sins. And this he does through the sacrifice, through the blood of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, upon the cross of Calvary. And my, that is the glorious message of the gospel. That is the greatest message of all. It is the message of the entire Bible from Genesis through to Revelation. That God alone can forgive your sins, and God alone can forgive your sins through the sacrifice of a son, Jesus Christ, upon the cross. You think of what you read about the Lord Jesus in Isaiah 53. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. That speaks of God forgiving sins through the sacrifice of the cross. Think of the words of the Apostle Paul as he speaks of God and of his Son Jesus Christ to the church at Ephesus. He says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. You think also of the words of John the Apostle, when he said in 1 John chapter 1 verse 7, in the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, God's Son, cleanse of us from all sin. There, those words and those servants of God who quoted those words were telling us that God, yes, forgives sins, and it is only through his Son, by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross, the sinless Son of God, he satisfied God's justice. And he made a way, he opened up and he provided a way whereby sinful man can have his sins forgiven by God. The hymn writer rightly asks and rightly says, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. My, there is only one covering for your sin and for my sin. There is only one remedy for your sin and for my sin. And that remedy and that covering is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, is shed upon Calvary's cross and that middle tree on the Mount of Calvary. And my, a true Christian is one whose sins are forgiven by God. That's what it means to be a true Christian, to have your sins forgiven by God through the atoning blood of Christ upon the cross. But notice something else from this great text tonight. A true Christian is one whose faith is in Christ for salvation. You notice there at the end of verse 18, the words there where Christ is speaking to Paul, and he says, by faith, that is in me. And there the Lord himself is saying that the true Christian trusts in him, trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ alone as the Savior from sin. You remember what the Lord himself says in the book of Isaiah. He says, I, even I, am the Lord. And beside me there is no Savior. He is the only Savior. There's no other Savior apart from Christ. Again, think of the words of the Apostle Peter. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Again, Peter makes it very clear that Christ is the only Savior. And as the Lord Jesus Christ is the only Savior from sin, then he is the one that you must trust in personally. If you are to be saved from your sins before Almighty God, you come into this meeting place tonight, you sat down in the pew where you're sitting. What did you do? It was really an act of faith. You sat down in faith, trusting that pew, that seat that you're sitting on right now to hold up your body weight, as it were, for the entirety of this meeting. And so likewise, you must trust in Christ. Put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone and rest upon him alone by faith for your salvation. You remember the Philippian jailer who asked the question, what must I do to be saved? And the answer he was given was this: believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's what you must do if you're to be saved. If you are to be a Christian, you must put your faith, your trust in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. This saving faith, it means you confessing your sins to the Lord, acknowledging to the Lord that you're a sinner. It means you realizing that the Lord Jesus Christ died for you. Died personally for your sins upon the cross of Calvary as your substitute. And it means you asking him by faith to cleanse away your sins by the precious blood, through the blood that he shed upon the cross of Calvary. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That speaks of the calling upon the Lord in faith. For salvation, a person who recognizes their need as a sinner, who believes that Jesus just didn't die, but that he died for them personally as their substitute upon the cross. It's the person who calls upon the Lord in faith to wash away, to cleanse away the guilt and the defilement of their sin before Almighty God through the blood of the cross. Tell me, friend, in our meeting tonight, have you called upon the Lord in faith for salvation? As you look over your life tonight, in the light of God's holy word, tell me, have you asked the Lord, as Hannah was saying about the children there in the report, have you asked the Lord to save your soul, to wash away your sin on account of his sacrifice upon the cross? This is what it means to be a true Christian. Can you look back to a time in your own experience, wherever that was, whenever that was, when you called as a sinner in faith upon the Lord, thanking him for dying on the cross for you, confessing your sins to him, and asking him to cleanse away your sin and to save your soul? For a true Christian is one whose faith is in Christ alone for salvation. Notice something else from this verse before us, that a true Christian is also one who is sanctified before God. You look at the latter part there of verse 18 of Acts chapter 26, and it speaks, it says, of them which are sanctified. That's maybe an uncommon word. It's a word that we really would not use in our everyday language, but when you come to these words in the Bible, it's good to stop and to think and to ponder. What do they mean? That word sanctified there really means to be set apart from the world, unto God, by God. In other words, whenever a person is a Christian, the lesson here is this: they are to live a holy life. They are to live a life for the glory of God. They are to live a life for the honor of the Word of God and the truth of the Bible. You think of the words of Peter as he's writing to Christians in his first letter. He's really quoting from the Old Testament book of Leviticus. And he quotes the word of the Lord to all his people when he says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." The Christian is to live a holy life. In other words, a life that is separate from the evil ways of this world. Not saying the Christian is to live a life of a hermit, but their life is to be separate, different from the evil ways of this world. Again, you think of the words of Christ speaking again to his own disciples who were Christians in John 14. He said this: "If you love me, keep my commandments." And the mark of the true Christian is seeking to live and abide by the commandments of God, the Word of God. Again, remember the words of Paul in his letter to the Corinthians: "Whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." The Christian is to live for God's glory. Friend, at our meeting tonight, this is what it means to be a Christian. This is what it means to live out your Christian life. The Bible says in Philippians 4, verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." And by the enabling grace of Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit, when you're a Christian, you're to live a holy life that is separate from the evil ways of this world. You're to live by the commandments of God's Word, by the teaching of the Bible. It was Martin Luther who said, "My conscience is captive to the Word of God." Charles Spurgeon, preaching to God's people on one occasion, said to them, be walking Bibles. In other words, live out the Word of God. And then in every part of your life, when you're a Christian, in your home life, in your workplace, in your school place, in your employment, in your worship of the Lord, and in the work of God, what is to be your aim, your goal? The glory of God in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. My, the true Christian is one who is sanctified before the Lord. But notice finally here from this great verse before us that a true Christian is one who is sure of heaven. Look again at verse 18 and what it says there of Acts chapter 26. It says that they may receive, notice it, an inheritance. And that word inheritance, it speaks there of the certainty of heaven. You see, whenever God saves a person by his grace, whenever God makes that person a Christian, the Holy Spirit comes into their heart and enters into their soul and life, and God bestows upon the Christian, the person whom he saves by his grace, he bestows upon them the wonderful gift, the wonderful treasure of eternal life, everlasting life in heaven. He saves them from hell, and they are made sure of heaven. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Speaking of the Christian, those who are saved, the Lord says, "I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." The Bible says of the Christian, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." And that word salvation there speaks of the consummation of the believer's salvation in heaven, their internal inheritance itself. What a place heaven is. Read your Bible. The Bible shows us that heaven is a place where there is no sickness. Nothing to infirm the body in heaven. No death in heaven. There is no sin in heaven. There's no darkness in heaven. There is no devil in heaven. It is a place of everlasting life. A place of everlasting glory where Christ is with all of his redeemed people for all of eternity. And there they shall worship the Lord and serve the Lord and rejoice in his presence forevermore in the perfection of the beauty of heaven. What a place it is. The hymn writer says, "We're going home to glory soon, to see the city bright. And this is what it means to be a true Christian. In closing tonight, let me ask, have you this wonderful assurance in your heart tonight of being saved from hell and being sure of heaven? Oh, if you haven't, I would urge you tonight to come now by faith to Christ. Trust Him as your Savior. And get this all-important matter settled once and for all. The Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life. Says he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Tonight call upon the Lord to save you from your sin. And then your sins will be forgiven through the blood of Christ. And you will be able to look forward to heaven and to glory. Let